All right, let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Acts, chapter 14. Acts chapter 14. I want to read you a few verses, and then I want to preach from one verse this morning. And let's begin reading, please, in verse 1, and we'll read down to verse 7. And verse 7, it will be my text verse this morning. Just to give you an overall on where what's going on here, the Apostle Paul has been preaching the gospel, and he comes to this region in what is today Turkey, called Iconium. And in verse 1 it says, "And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed." So they had a great service. They had a great meeting, and Jews and Gentiles alike were coming to the Lord Jesus to be saved. All right, look at verse 2. Verse 2 says, "But..." You know, anytime there's something good going on, the devil is going to step in there, isn't he? All right, so we got this glorious news of verse 1, and then you start verse 2, but, what happened? Well, look at it. "But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of that of the city was divided." All right, the city was divided. "And part held with the Jews." Now, the Jews are those... in verse 2, the unbelieving Jews. Okay, so a multitude, part held with the Jews, and then a part with the apostles. "And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it." So the "they" there is Paul and Barnabas. All right. So Paul and Barnabas found out about what was happening. And so here's what we read. It says, when there was an assault made in verse 6, "they were aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia. All right, so that's a different region. Iconium is one area. Lycaonia is the other area. And in that Lycaonia is the two cities of Lystra and Derbe. All right, I don't want it to get confusing for you. "And unto the region that lieth round about." Now here's my text verse. It says, notice, "and there they preached the gospel." Now that's strange, isn't it? They get run out of one part, being threatened that they're going to be stoned to death. And so they flee and run down. It's not far. It'd be about like going from here to Baltimore. And so they flee down to the twin cities here of Lystra and Derbe in another county, if you will. And immediately they just say, "Well, we're going to keep preaching. You just about got killed the last time." Yeah, I know, but we got to keep preaching the gospel. I mean, that's, you know, sometimes you'll go to a door, knock on a door, you'll tell them who you are, and you'll tell them what you're doing, and it's no telling what you'll hear. And you may get a dog sicked on you. You may get the door slammed in your face. You may be cursed at. You never know what you're going to find when you go knocking on somebody's door. But if you get rejected, do you quit? No. You cannot quit, because not everybody, the Lord Jesus has told us that not everybody is going to hear. Not everybody's going to hear. And there are some that will. Thank the Lord for that. But there are some who will not. No matter what, they're not going to listen to you. But do you give up? Do you quit? No. It says, and there. So they left one area because of persecution. They ran down to another area, didn't even think about it. They just started preaching the gospel there. And so I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. And there they preached the gospel. All right, let's pray together and keep your Bible open here and then the message. Let's pray. Father, thank you now so much for your word. And I pray that you will bless the word of God to our hearts. And Lord, we thank you for the music this morning and how it's prepared our hearts. And Father, thank you for the songs that remind us of your grace and your love and your mercy and how worthy you are to be praised. And Father, as we think now about Paul and Barnabas, there was no doubt they wanted to share the gospel with everyone. And Father, help us to get that burden in our hearts this morning. And I pray that we'll leave here today with the desire to want to share the gospel of Christ with some lost soul this week. So Father, bless. We need your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. The verse that I have chosen for you this morning, if you'll look at verse 7, you will see that this verse is six little words in our English Bible. Six little words. And there they preached the gospel. In the Greek New Testament, in which it was originally written, these words originally written, the verse is only three words long. Three words long. So it's not a big verse. It's not glaring. It does not stand out on the page. But as short as it is long in information and encouragement and blessing for each of our hearts if you know the Lord as your personal Savior. Paul and Barnabas are traveling together. They're preaching the gospel city after city, just going on a missionary trip, so to speak, and preaching the gospel every time they stop. So they arrived in the city of Iconium, which is today in modern Turkey, and they found a Jewish synagogue there where they preached to a multitude of both Jews and Gentiles. Notice that, both Jews and Gentiles. You see, Paul had already decided that it doesn't make any difference whether you're a Jew or a Gentile, all men need the gospel. And so he was not going to sit and determine, oh, excuse me, before I share this with you, are you a Jew or a Gentile? Well, I'm a Gentile. Well, I'm sorry, you can't hear this. No, no. Jesus died for all men. All right, all of us. And so Paul goes into this town, goes to the synagogue, and he begins to preach the gospel, and great multitudes of people, both Jews and Greeks, came to hear the message and were saved in that message. But in verse 2, we read about these unbelieving Jews who stirred up the Gentiles in that city. Now, Remember that Iconium is in modern day Turkey. It's a Gentile region. There were Jews there, but the ones that that fled to get away from persecution, those were the Jews that were there. And just like there are Jews all over the Middle East, but nonetheless, they went into this city, and they stirred up the Gentiles against Paul and Barnabas. They went in and created trouble, no doubt, lying at every opportunity they could in order to get the people to turn against those who were indeed preaching the gospel. Now, the two men of God, Paul and Barnabas, they got word of what was being stirred up against them. So they fled to the south, to another region, to the two cities of Derbe and Lystra. And we are told that when they got into Lycaonia, I can't say that for some reason. I don't know why, but I just can't. I've tried all week. And there preached the gospel. It was like they never missed a beat. I mean, so they're being persecuted in one city, and they have to flee to another. Not a problem. We'll just preach the gospel where we are. They did not give up on preaching the gospel just because a little persecution came upon them. And so I wonder how many of us, if we got in trouble in one city for sharing the gospel, and we found out that we were going to be persecuted, so we fled to down the road to the next town, I wonder how many of us would sit and think, well, I guess I best start preaching the gospel again. I mean, we've been persecuted just the day before. Now we flee to another place. I wonder how many of us would have just instantly thought, well, time to start preaching again. I dare say not many of us. I really don't know that it would be that big of a number. And neither of these two, Paul or Barnabas, neither of them ever considered giving up the matter of preaching the gospel in the next town. They had one goal, and nothing would keep them from going after their one goal, which was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you remember in the book of Romans, which was one of the first books that the Apostle Paul wrote, he said in chapter 1 in verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greeks. So to the Jews and to the Gentiles, it is the power of God unto salvation. You see, folks, the preaching of the gospel was the main thing to Paul and to Barnabas. And it ought to be the main thing for all of us who know the Lord as our Savior. I have said many, many times from this pulpit that the main thing is to make the main thing the main thing. And soul winning, telling folks about Jesus, is the main thing. How else are they going to hear and believe if nobody takes the message to them? You see, it is the duty of every believer to share the gospel with someone else. Now, a couple of things I want you to see from this seventh verse. First of all, notice the place of the preaching. The place of the preaching. Look at your Bible, please, and look at verse 7. And in verse 7, this is what we read. And there. You see that? That's the place. There. You say, well, that's vague. No, there is wherever Paul and Barnabas were. And there they preached the gospel. You see, where is there? Well, there is where they were. And that's where they preached the gospel. Now, it just so happens that the both of them were in the cities of Lystra and Derbe, two cities that were real close to one another. And so there is where they preached the gospel. Now, folks, think about this. I assure you that there was not a big, cushy church down in the middle of town with padded pews and air conditioning. I'll guarantee you that wasn't where there was. You say, well, Pastor, where's there? Well, I'll guarantee you it was not a cathedral somewhere with a pipe organ and a piano in it. You say, well, where would there be? Well, there was certainly not a place where folks could come and sit down on padded pews and listen through a tremendous sound system to the voice of the Apostle Paul preaching the gospel to them. No, I'll guarantee you not. You say, well, where's there? Wherever Paul and Barnabas ended up, probably on a street corner somewhere, probably just outside the door of a Jewish synagogue, probably down at a market somewhere where folks were gathering, there is where Paul preached the gospel. He did not have to have a big church building somewhere. He didn't have to have a sound system. They just stood up and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with lost people, and lost people came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a vicious, think about this now, there was a vicious, spiritually dark a city that was full of idols. No doubt the people here were spiritually ignorant of the gospel. They did not know the gospel. They knew nothing about the gospel. And there is no doubt that the city where they were was a religious city filled with Roman mythology and leftover Greek mythology. And if any of us were able to go there, to go back to those two cities, we would surely say to ourselves, these two cities probably need to be skipped. I mean, there's nothing but a bunch of heathens that live here who are doing nothing more than worshiping and encouraging others to worship false gods. And these two cities probably just should be overlooked. This is just a huge waste of time because of all the idolatry here. Nobody in this place is going to listen to a single word that Paul and Barnabas have to say. I'm sure that's what most believers today would have thought had they gone back to where there was. We would not have been all that excited about preaching the gospel. Man, I've been in some places around the world where when you started preaching the gospel, it was very uncomfortable, very uncomfortable. I think I told you folks about this one situation down in the Caribbean. It was actually on the island of St. Lucia. And while there, we went to in the middle of the day to the market. They called it the fish market. Although it had everything there, it did have a lot of fish for sale, but it was a very crowded, very busy place. But we went to win people to the Lord. And so we're down sharing the gospel with folks, giving the gospel out, and suddenly a couple of guys come and tell us that we weren't welcome there. And I said, why? And they said, well, you're preaching this doctrine. I said, yes, we are. It's called the gospel. And they said, well, we don't like the gospel. And I said, we're not hurting anybody. Well, you're hurting us. I said, well, here's an idea. Walk away. If we're bothering you, walk away. You don't have to stand here and listen to it. And so they got their little heads together and decided that they weren't going anywhere. And so they came back and they said after a little while, and they said, well, we're not going anywhere. And I said, all right, you stand right here. You guys stand right here. And so I looked over and I said, come on, guys. And so we walked away from them. And when we got all the way on the other side of the place, we started witnessing to folks again. And I kept turning around to make sure they weren't following us, and they weren't. They watched us until they couldn't see us anymore. But we got over on the other side, and when we got over there, there were a bunch of men who had steel drums. Do you know what steel drums are? It makes an unbelievable sound. And they have them in all octaves, and I don't know how they do it. You'd have to really have an ear for music to play those things. And so these guys are all standing around playing. They weren't playing for a reason. They were just playing. And so I walked over, and it was music, and it attracted my attention, and I walked over, and I listened to it, and all of a sudden, they quit playing, and then they started playing this thing real fast, and as they played that, this little kid looked like he was about 12 or 13 years of age. He came out from behind a curtain, and he was all dressed up and looked like a wild man. And he came out in front of everyone, and he was dancing and prancing around. And I felt real uncomfortable. So I started to back up, and there was a rope that was going around like this. And as I turned to walk away, he jumped and landed right in front of me. And he's looking me right in the eye. And I had the creepiest feeling go over me. I had never felt that before. And he's standing there looking at me, and his eyes would go, one eye would go one way and the other eye'd go the other way. And I'm sitting there getting all creeped out watching this. And so finally his eyes came back together again, and I looked at him, and he said, let's see your God do this. Now, how did he know about my God? Well, you do the math on that. And he reached into his pants pocket, and he pulled out what looked like one of these. It looked like one of these. And it was made out of bone, I was later told. And he took that thing, and he's no farther away from me than I am from this microphone right here. And he takes this thing while the fever is burning. I mean, they're playing faster and faster and harder and harder. And that boy is looking at me. His eyes are going 14 different directions at the same time. And he takes this thing and puts it through his cheek, then through his tongue, and then out the other side, and then he turns it loose, and it's just hanging there, and he is cackling, laughing, and says, let me see your God do that. And I said, my God doesn't need to do that. He said, you're afraid. I said, no, I'm not. Pull that out of your face and let me tell you about Jesus. Well, when I said that, he went ballistic. And he pulled that thing out, not one drop of blood, folks. Not one drop of blood. Not a drop. Amazing, isn't it? And he pulled that thing out and then put it back in his pocket, and boom, he was gone. He didn't want to hear about Jesus. He didn't want to hear that. But folks, do you quit preaching because of something like that? No. No. I turned around to the group and they're all standing there, you know, mouths agape. What was that, Pastor? I have no idea. I don't know what that was. Demonism, that's what that was. And so I said, let's go find somebody to talk to about the Lord. So we took just a few steps and the music stopped, and then we started talking to this fellow that was standing there and told him about the Lord. You know what? He listened. Amen. You go find some that won't, but praise God, you're going to find some that will. So there was a vicious, dark city full of idols. And don't forget, they fled from one for fear of persecution, got down to the other city, and they were persecuted. I did not take the time to read it to you, but you can read about it here. In verse 8, Paul and Barnabas healed a fella who was crippled in his legs, in his feet. And when they healed this fella, everybody got mad because he healed them. And everybody started calling Paul. They started calling Paul Mercury, who was their god, and they started calling Barnabas, they were calling him Jupiter, the head god, you know, the head Roman god, Jupiter. And so they bowed down, and Paul didn't like that at all. He said, get up. What's wrong with you people? You know, I'm not a god. You don't bow to me. There's only one God, and you ought to bow to that God. And so Paul began to preach the gospel to them, and what happened was they stoned him. They stoned him. Now that's terrible, isn't it? I mean, just he went left one town thinking he was going to get stoned to death. Comes down to another town, and they drag him outside of the city and stone him to death. You say, to death? That's right. They killed him. You say, I didn't know Paul died here. Well, he did, but a miracle happened. Do you remember that? Yeah, the Lord raised him up. Yeah, he was literally stoned, but the Lord raised him up. And so when the Lord raised him up out of death, look at verse 19. Let me read it to you. It says, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium. So they'd all gotten together now, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Now, folks, don't you think that you could recognize if another human being was dead and you were there? Don't you think you could recognize death if you saw it? Of course you could. Of course you could. Well, these grown men could as well. And they just drug him out of the city and left him for dead. You say, well, Pastor, what happened? Well, the Lord brought him back. That's what happened. Now, take your Bible for a minute. Let's just think about this for a second. Go over to 2 Corinthians, the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. All right, 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. Second Corinthians is easy to find. It's right after 1 Corinthians. All right? You got it? All right, look at verse 1. Paul says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." And here's what he says. "I knew a man." Well, he's talking about himself. All right, he says, "I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago." So about 14 years ago. And he says, "Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth." So he had never experienced anything like that. And so he said, "Whether I was in the body or out of the body, I don't know." But anyway, here's what happened. He said, such an one caught up to the third heaven. All right, now everybody look at me. The first heaven is the air above us. It's what we breathe. All right? That's the air above us. It has clouds in it. It has the air that we breathe. The second heaven is the heavens. We go out at night and look up into the sky and we see the heavens, all right? The stars and the Milky Way and all that business. That's the second heaven. And then the third heaven is the literal place where God dwells. Heaven. Heaven. That's the third heaven. Now, the seventh heaven is when you kiss your wife. All right, you remember that? Some of you go back, think, all right? You're getting close. All right, so that's the seventh heaven. No, I'm joking. All right, but the point is that Paul said, he went up to the third heaven. Now, that's where God dwells. All right? Now, look at this. He said in verse 3, "I knew such a man, and again, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter." In other words, he said, "I got up to heaven and I saw things that it cannot be revealed right now. It's just too awesome to reveal." You say, "Well, what do you think that was?" Well, I think Paul might have been a little flustered when he went up there because he found out that he did not get to write the book of the Revelation. Maybe. All right? Don't you think that would have been disappointing to Paul? I think it would have been. All right. But anyway, he said, "I saw things that, man." But now think of this, folks. He went up to heaven. Do you hear me? Heaven, where God is, where Jesus is, where the Old Testament saints of God are. He went up to heaven. And then in verse 6 or verse 5, he said, of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory. He said, so I'll glory of the Lord, but I'm not going to glory in myself. Yeah, he could have puffed his chest out and said to the next guy beside him, how often have you been to heaven? How many times have you been? But no, Paul was not like that. And Paul was not going to do that. So he said, I'm not going to glory in that. Now, notice in the next verse, for though I would desire, verse 6, to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And then he said, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. In other words, God revealed things to him up there, and it was just phenomenal what he learned. There was given to me, verse 7, a what? A thorn in the flesh. How many of you are sitting here right now saying, man, my flesh just keeps me from doing a lot of things that I used to do? Huh? Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Remember when you could go out and work in the yard all day and walk the next day? Huh? Remember that? Can't do that now, can you? No. And so Paul said, the Lord gave me a thorn in the flesh. Now, what was that thorn? Well, a lot of people say that the thorn was his eyesight, because he wrote to the Galatians and said, see how large a letter I have written with mine own hand. So, in other words, he wrote the book himself. That would have been a big to-do, because he had glaucoma or macular degeneration or something wrong where he lost his eyes. Could that have been the thorn? Another suggestion was that he had some form of scoliosis. And I mean, if you think about it, when you got beaten as many times as Paul did for preaching the gospel, and when you got flogged as many times as Paul did, and when you got stoned to death and beaten with rods as many times as Paul did, you probably would have had some back problems yourself. All right? I don't know what his thorn was. Josephus, the historian, said that he saw the Apostle Paul, and that when he saw him, he was amazed because he was such a short, bent over, hunched over old man when he saw him. So it could have been the fact that he had broken bones in his back or in his shoulders that prevented him from standing straight up. I don't know. But Brother Roloff used to say all the time, I can imagine when Paul got up to heaven and looked around and noticed that nobody up there was needed to be saved, and he had no churches that needed to be built. He just decided, Lord, if it's all the same to you, I'd just soon go back down and keep preaching. And the Lord said, well, all right, if that's what you want, I'll let you go back for a while. And so the Lord sent him back. Now, I don't know. But folks, listen, I do know that in chapter 12 and in verse 7 and in verse 8, the Lord gave a messenger of Satan to buffet him, and he prayed three times for the Lord to deliver him from that thorn. But after the third time, there was no deliverance, and so Paul said, I thought I was going to be able to pray my way out of this thorn, but I cannot do it, so I'm just going to pray my way through this thorn. See the difference? There's sometimes you just got to bear the burden, don't you? So that was the there in the preaching that they did. Now, folks, I want to tell you that what they went through did not make them quit. It did not make them quit. You know, it's really funny. Anything can make us quit. Yeah, it didn't take much. That guy didn't even speak to me. I'm going to go to another church. All right, we got one stuck-up guy in the whole church. And you have to run into him and make a judgment about everybody else based on one stuck-up guy. Shame on you. Nothing stopped these men. Nothing. What if the government came in here right now and said, preacher, we've heard enough out of you. We're shutting this place down. Well, what are we going to do? Are we just going to say, well, okay, well, it's been nice knowing everybody. Where's the stuck-up guy? I'm going to say bye to him, you know. You know what I mean? Folks, come on. Time's running out. And it takes nothing to trip us up. These men were dragged to a wall, and men gathered around and picked up stones, not little tiny pebbles, not little rocks. They picked up stones and hurled them down upon them and buried them under the stones. And we quit because it's hot in the balcony? God help us. God help us. Folks, they just went out preaching and preached boldly. They just would not let anything stop them. Let's not let anything stop us. Bow your heads with me, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. What about it, Christian? What would it take to stop you? What would it take? I hope you realize that there is work to be done. And if we don't do it, who's going to do it? If we don't do it, who is going to do it? Oh, would you let God touch your heart? You remember when you were on fire and you'd witness to anyone who crossed your path. You remember those days? Let's get that desire back. Let's get that fire back. Let's just make up our mind that we're gonna witness for the Lord. Father in heaven, you know our needs this morning, and I pray that you will bless, help us this morning to realize our need of sharing the gospel with others. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to just realize that there are people in our sphere of influence that we could share the gospel of Jesus Christ with, and we could show them the way to get saved if we just would. And so, Father, give us a burdened heart to share the gospel. And Father, there may be someone here this morning who is not 100% sure that they're on their way to heaven. They hope they're going, and they want to go, but they're just not 100% sure that should something happen to them, they would go straight to be with you in heaven. It's interesting that when Paul was left for dead, he told us about his soul going up into heaven. It went immediately into heaven. And Father, I pray you'll help us to search our hearts this morning and ask ourselves, should something happen to me, do I know for sure that I'm going to heaven? And Father, if folks are not sure, I pray that today will be the day when they trust Jesus as their personal Savior. So speak to hearts, Father, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.